And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. For the next hour, we're going to turn our attention to the upcoming primary election. Early voting starts on May 5th. And for the next half hour, we're going to be speaking with Ray Lara and Juan Fuentes. They are the candidates running for the State House in District 34. Mr. Lara is the incumbent, and he is the chairman of the Democratic Caucus. District 34 includes Santa Teresa, Sunland Park, Chamberino, La Mesa, that strip of communities. But beyond that is a huge sprawling district geographically that certainly has a much more rural area than the other districts that we'll be talking about. And so, first of all, thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Ray, since you are the incumbent, I let you go first, just for people who may not be familiar with you, to tell us a little bit about yourself, your service thus far, and why you made the decision to run for re-election again this year.
Thank you. Well, good morning. My name is Ray Lara. I represent, obviously, House District 34. I've been there, I think this is my fourth term, I think it is, 8 years.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, I'm like, well, like you mentioned earlier, Walt, I do serve as the chairman of the House Democratic Caucus. That's a very big honor for me because my my colleagues have faith and trust in me to lead them in that capacity. And I also would like to mention that, you know, in that capacity, I'm the only one in this area that serves on House leadership. Everything else is concentrated up north in Albuquerque and Santa Fe. So that position is really important. I really enjoy what I do. I enjoy representing the communities in Santa Fe. I enjoy working with and building relationships with folks. And it's just been a very positive experience. It's been a very positive experience. I have more gray hair than I did when I started.
That's true.
Yeah. But overall, it's been a great experience, and it's been an honor and a pleasure to represent the folks from those communities.
And Mr. Fuentes, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure.
And why you made the decision to run for this seat.
Well, again, thank you and good morning to everybody. So I'm a lifelong resident from the city of Sunland Park and Santa Teresa area. So I'm from that area, so I'm very familiar throughout my career. I started my career as an environmental activist in the city of Sunland Park, fighting against a medical incinerator back in the day in the early 90s, as well as the regional landfill, which unfortunately we lost. So I've been very involved in the community, serving the community, being a public servant, started working for the city of Sunland Park as a city clerk, started moving north to the town of Mesilla in public administration, city of TRC as the city manager, and then took a detour east to the city of Roswell, where I was the administrative services director, and then finally retired after 27 years. But my career and my passion was public service and was serving at the local level. And I think sometimes when you have that ability to be able to provide those services at the local level, it kind of gives you the close of being able to work with the community, with the people, to be able to, whether it's with senior citizens, providing them with a senior center, or any wide range of services. So you ask the question, why did I decide to run for office? Well, again, my passion is public service because that's what I've been doing. And helping communities, even now as a retired and also serving as a consultant, I tell my wife I failed at retirement because I couldn't just stay home. And the other thing is she wanted me out of the house too, right? So I figured, well, I'm going to do something that I can contribute back to the community. I think I have time that I can do that and the experience. So I'm working with small communities. And I figure I can continue to do that as a role as a state legislator because we have a wide range of issues, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. The district is it's growing tremendously when you look at Sunland Park, Santa Teresa, to the more rural farming areas. So there's a wide range of issues that covers within that district that I'm sure we'll be talking about. So that's my passion, is to serve the communities.
I would like to hear both of your takes on Project Jupiter.
And is that in the district? Am I correct that it is in the district?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I can certainly, as a challenger, as a newcomer, you know, here in this area. So Project Jupiter, right? So, you know, obviously, as with any big economic development project, there's always complex issues to be worked out, you know. And I think at the onset, you know, with a big development project, we are all encouraging jobs. We're all encouraging economic development in the Santa Teresa Borderplex area. However, the devil's in the details, where there was some transparency concerns, obviously, with the water consumption. You know, I've read some of the articles. I've read, you know, listened to some of the other shows in online where they talk about the contract having, you know, a language in there that talks about the potable, right, which is drinkable water of 20,000 to serve the campus, the AI campus, not necessarily the other non-potable water that was needed for the cooling system. So now all this, now we have an issue where the county needs to do a little bit more further investigating to try to be able to resolve, is there a way to resolve this issue of the Jupiter project? It is a big project that was supported by the state. There might have been some action at the state legislative level, too, to support the project, the county and some of the local officials. But with this issue of the water consumption and the issue of emissions have now raised for a need for more information. And that has to be worked out through the proper channels. There's a lot of parties involved. It is a complex issue that will affect a lot of people, including the local farmer who's next to that project. That person will be impacted as well. So I think there's a lot of information that needs to be, you know, kind of communicated to the public, communicated to the county officials and to the city as well. Is it a project that can be salvageable? I think that was one of the key points in the resolution of the county commission.
Mr. Lara?
Yes, thank you. First of all, I'd like to say that the decision to move forward with Jupiter was not a state decision or a legislative decision. It was a local decision. And so, you know, I all the information that I've received, I've read, you know, secondhand news, you know, newspaper articles, you know, I read Houseman's articles, you know, anything what's on the radio. So anything that I hear or learn of or read is secondhand information. So I can't really speak on authority as to what decisions were made or what information was looked at or anything like that, because I haven't seen that. So, but what I do think about what's happening up there is that the growth is happening so quickly that the checks and balances are being bypassed. And when that happens, we open ourselves to a lot of trouble and possible litigation. As a matter of fact, it is happening right now.
Sure.
And so, you know, these things, in my experience with this, is when there's this type of project or any construction development project, you know, you have to go down the list and you have to check the boxes, environmental study, check, archaeological studies, check, you know, impact on the community in general, check. And a lot of these processes were bypassed. And that's where we find ourselves in the situation where we're at. And, you know, the part that really concerns me the most is the use of the water. Mm-hmm. Because to my knowledge and what I've seen, when they were promoting or talking about the 20,000 gallons of water per day, that's for the campus itself, that's to flush the toilets, drinking water, whatever, the power plants were left out. And it's a twin gas-fired power plant. And those use excessive amounts of water, in order to keep the system cooled, number one. And number two, to my knowledge, it also reduces the emissions if the systems run cooler. So that part wasn't discussed. That part was when, you know, I listened into that county commission meeting, and that part wasn't discussed. That section of the agreement, to my knowledge, wasn't even considered. And so I think what's happening now is all these delays. We have the litigation, obviously. The state land commissioner denied the gas line extension. Even now the feds are looking at it, and they're not recommending that it happen. And so that, I believe, is a direct result of not going down that checklist and checking those boxes.
The legislature did pass, they didn't vote on the bill specifically. It was an amendment tacked on to another bill in the 2024 session that gave an exemption on the clean air for the power plant. As the representative of the district where that power plant's going to be placed, were you aware of that? Did they come to you and let you know that that was happening?
They did not.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
They did not. If they would have, I think you know, there would have been a rally around around that. Yeah, no, you're correct. And Walter, I don't think you'd be surprised, but it happens quite a bit.
Yes, yes, that's correct. I want to get on to I guess it's a related issue, and that is water. That certainly the people in Solon Park, anybody served by the Camino Real Regional Utility Authority has been dealing with. What role, Mr. Fuentes, do you think the legislature has in, you know, trying to oversee that issue and making sure that the people you serve are going to have, you know, clean drinking water both today and into the future?
Sure. Thank you for the question. So the issue of the arsenic in the water system, I think that's one of the other issues that prompted my interest in running, because I live in Santa Teresa. And I was with the calls for, you know, the issues with the water when we were getting notices where you can't just drink it. You got to boil it. You got to have all these sort of practices to do it. So that kind of piqued my interest in saying, well, what's going on here? As a lifelong, you know, resident of that community, working with other communities to address their water, their wastewater issues, their infrastructure issues, what is happening? So I did attend a recent meeting from the New Mexico Environment Department Quality Bureau in Santa Teresa, where they talked about the arsenic. They talked about what has been done over the last couple of years to try to mitigate that. But there's still more that needs to be done to be able to assure that we are providing high-quality water. And by that is to provide the necessary funding for those systems to improve. But there has to be a dialogue with GRUA. I believe during that meeting with the Quality Bureau, they talked about the improvements. That they have been making some improvements. Some of the chairman of GRUA, as well as some of the employees there, they're making improvements to the system. So, again, I'm not too familiar with if it was an operational issue or if it was an infrastructure issue. But regardless, any water system in the state needs the support from the state to be able to provide the funding. So that's one of the things that I would advocate for. And I got to tell you, in working with other communities, when there's a need for significant investment to improve infrastructure in that community, legislators, the state will rally and provide that funding. I can tell you from experience with the City of Truth and Consequences, they needed to replace all of their water lines because they were failing. The state and the governor's office invested tremendous amount of funding to be able to provide that community the ability to replace those water lines. And it's over $30 million, and they're working on it. So the will is there. The funding is there. So that would be my priority, to work with the officials with the City of Sullivan Park, to work with GRUA, and say, what specific projects do you need, and how can we get you that funding to be able to address those issues so that the people can have that confidence in them as well, again, to say, yes, we can safely drink our water without having to go to El Paso and buy water we do all. Thank you.
Mr. Long?
Thank you for that. So I have family that live in that area that were directly impacted a couple of years ago with the whole issue with the chemicals in the drinking water. So I have a great aunt who's in her 90s who's been, I would say, we may have been affected by this, that lives there. And so this became very personal to me when this disaster happened a couple of years ago. And so I immediately acted, and I was able to get $5 million into HB2 for GRUA to address any immediate needs that it has. The issue with the water, it's not as simple. It's pretty complicated. So GRUA and many of the other mutuals, La Unión, San Bernardino, Lower Rio Grande, Alto de las Flores, are forced to go up onto the mesa to drill for water. The farther you go up onto the mesa, the higher likely there is arsenic up there. So my question has always been, you know, why if El Paso Water Utilities can dig their wells right by the river where the sweet water is, why can't we? Well, it comes down to Texas v. New Mexico. That's why we can't do it. Right now, when they treat for arsenic, they use a chemical process. Obviously, they use a chemical caustic soda, and it separates the arsenic from the water. And even then, I still have a suspicion that there's still some residual chemicals in that water. And so the best way to treat arsenic in water is to blend it with sweet water. You blend it, you dilute it, and you fall beneath the threshold.
Right.
And so until we're able to blend that drinking water with the sweet water, we're going to be faced with the issue. You know, we can dig as many wells as we want. We can look for sources of water in other places. But the farther we go west, the more arsenic, which is a naturally occurring mineral, is in the water. And so, you know, I've looked at and I've spoken with GRUA and the folks with GRUA, and I there has to be not only investment from the state besides the investment that I made, but there's also they also have to be resourceful and look for federal funding. I assisted them, as a matter of fact, with the Colonial Infrastructure Board. CRUA had applied for funding through the Colonial Infrastructure Board, but when the county decided to do away with the JPA, Colonial Infrastructure Board were threatening to pull back that funding. And so I managed to work with the board and with the City of Sunland Park for the City of Sunland Park to take on those projects. Mm-hmm. So they were we were able to continue with what they were working on without any lapse. So I think it is a complicated issue, but clean, safe drinking water is very, very important to me. Obviously, for, not just for the community, but in a personal way as well, because I have family that live there. And it's very important to me because without that clean, safe, reliable drinking water, you know, forget economic development, mm-hmm. forget the growth of our schools, forget just any future development or any future growth is going to be critically dependent on that water and the quality of the water.
Aside from the safety of the water, what do you think are the main issues that are on the minds of the people who would be your constituents?
Well, one of the things that you know that I'm advocating for, and I believe is jobs and opportunity, economic development. I think as I you know one of the interviews I indicated that when you see all of the tremendous growth that's happening in West El Paso, throughout all along the border, all the way up to the New Mexico Texas border, the jobs, the businesses going over there. What you see more in New Mexico is housing, which is good, but you don't see the opportunities. I remember, you know, I recall in reading one of the articles regarding Jupiter and the AI Center, the question was asked, well, where are these jobs going to come from? Who's going to fill those jobs? And some of them will be in New Mexico from New Mexico people, and most of them maybe end up coming from El Paso. Well, yes, because that's where the workforce is. So mm-hmm. we need to be able to provide opportunity for our own folks to be able to have that. Like I said, I'm a lifelong resident. I've been there and I've seen it tremendously. And I've always asked that question. Why is it that when you drive down I-10, you see all of the west side growing with businesses, industries, and then you look west to New Mexico and all you see is housing right now, but you don't see a lot of that activity. I think some of the people want to be able to have that opportunity of jobs. They want to stay home. Mm-hmm. We don't want to lose our future, our kids, to be able to say, well, I'm going to end up just going to some other city or to work in El Paso, which a lot of them, that's what they do. My first job was in El Paso. There's not a lot of opportunities there in the New Mexico side unless you're in Cruces or Albuquerque or Santa Fe. So I think economic development, job opportunities is one of the issues for that district.
Right. Mr. Lahr?
There's many factors that come into the economic development, into the growth of the region. Obviously, agriculture is very important. You know, we can't dismiss that, you know, and just concentrate on the southern part of the district. You know, our ag community is very important. The producers, the growers, and everything they do is critical to the survival of our district. So the largest ag producer in the district is Stahmann Farms. And so they've been there for generations. And so we need to work not only on economic development and job growth, but we also need to work on education. So I'm proud to say that I've worked with DACC on those workforce development and workforce training projects. I was involved with the Union Pacific when they instituted that job training center at the DACC mm-hmm. Sunland Park. So I'm working with the school district, obviously. I work with the school district, so I'm very involved with the school district and their CTE programs and what they're doing to develop future work for the future workforce for not only the data center or just for the industrial park, but also, and I think this is something that's really important, that I've also supported and worked with CRUA in developing. We're growing our own. So we're hiring and working with the youth and young people for them to work with the water, mm-hmm. wastewater treatment. So I believe very strongly in growing your own and developing that workforce from within. And because if we don't develop it from within and we develop our own leadership and develop our own youth, we're always going to be constantly bringing people from the outside to do it, mainly folks from El Paso. So I think a good way to combat that is to educate our students and educate our workforce and give them the ability to get those jobs.
The state took, I thought, a couple of important steps this past session in terms of health care, helping to improve access. But we're still underserved throughout the state. What is the situation like in your district? I'm assuming probably a lot of people go to El Paso to go to the doctor, but you can't obviously use your New Mexico insurance to go see the doctor in El Paso. So typically, what is the situation in your district? Mr. Lara, why don't you go first with that one?
Sure. You know, there's a scarcity, obviously. In the district, we have La Clínica de Familia is the main provider of health care for folks in my district. Many have the option going to El Paso. I will sometimes. I have my dentist in El Paso, so I go to the dentist in El Paso. And that's the unique situation that we're in here in the border in the Metroplex. I have difficulty trying to explain that to my colleagues in the north.
Yeah.
Because they see it in a very different way, and I don't blame them. You know, they're representing their areas and they deal with issues in their areas. But our area is very different. It's very unique. It was one of the things that that I think that can be done with this is number one. How can I explain this? So as far as the legislature is concerned and what we do for the healthcare, and obviously we passed a medical malpractice reform, which I was a sponsor of, and is we need to offer incentives. We do it already for teachers, and we do it for doctors as well, is incentives. Mm-hmm. Stay here. Stay with us. We do have a loan repayment program. We do have incentives for doctors to go to rural and underserved areas. But as far as our area and our region is concerned, is we're competing with Texas. And it's hard for us to keep good doctors and in New Mexico or doctors in general because the situation and the laws in Texas are very much different than they are here. So we're already starting behind the curve. And so the situation, once again, I'm going to repeat this because it's very important. The situation we have here in the border area is very different from Albuquerque or Santa Fe. Yeah, it's very different from Mosquero, New Mexico. So I think we need to come up with a regional solution. I'd be willing to work with my colleagues from the southeastern part of the state because they deal with the same thing.
Right.
And to see how, as border communities and border counties, we can best work with each other and collaborate with each other as to how to, I don't want to say combat, but how to deal with the issue from Texas.
Yeah. Mr. Fuentes.
Yes. So I will say this, that, you know, the health care throughout the rural communities is a real big issue to have access. This afternoon, I'll be, coming up here again with my wife to go to a doctor's appointment. So having access to medical services and those providers in that area, it's a big challenge. But it goes back to the bigger picture as well. If a lot of the development is occurring in the Texas side, all of the medical services are happening on the Texas side. Mm-hmm. So it is all interconnected. That's why in order for us to be able to provide those services, we need to tackle it from the bigger picture, bigger perspective as well. We're fortunate to have some of those services already there in the community, like Clínica de Familia and other dental services in the community. But for major treatment, major items that people need, they will go to Texas, or they will come up here to Las Cruces. Just my grandmother, who was 102, she fell, unfortunately, in my parents' home in Sunland Park. She had to be taken to Providence Hospital in El Paso because there's no services there. And obviously for us, our priority was to take care of her immediately and not drive all the way to Las Cruces or some other facility. So it was very personal. Not only just because it affects all of us, it's because we need to do our job better and be able to provide the services. Rural communities are struggling, so I think at the legislative level, we can do more to provide that service.
Well, as always is the case, there are a lot of topics that we weren't able to get to. We're down to our last couple of minutes, so I want to give you both an opportunity to address anything that we haven't given you the opportunity to, and to make whatever final points you'd like to make. And I forget who did I'd like to. I always wanted. Mr. Quinty, did you go first to start?
Sure. Thank you. And just first of all, just want to thank you all. Thank you both for the opportunity of being here today and just talk a little bit about the issues that matter most to District 34 and also to the listeners and also for the opportunity to be able to be part of the election process, of the democratic process. You know, I think this is one of the things that we are advocating for, even with the passage of the question regarding, you know, having the compensation, providing more opportunity for people. So I want to take that opportunity and say to the people who signed my petition, thank you. And I look forward to meeting all of everybody in District 34.
Thank you very much. Ray Lara.
Thanks, Walter. Once again, it's good to see you, and I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much. I'd like to emphasize the stability. I'd like to emphasize the silent leadership. I'd like to emphasize the relationships. What's important what's important that wasn't discussed is, you know, I've been with the school district 25 years. I've lived in this community for over 30 years. It's something that has been steady, that people can depend on. I answer my phone when folks call. I'm accessible. Just recently, I was celebrated in La Mesa at the community center for what I've done for the community. And so I may not seek the limelight, I may not, you know, be on the front pages all the time, but I believe that the work is done slowly and steady, and I have proof of that with my capital outlay investments. I have proof of that with my advocacy and the legislation that I pass. One thing that we didn't discuss that came up that I was kind of hoping is education.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. I'm very happy to have sponsored the 80-20 bill, which I was able to get $71 million into the state budget in order for school district employees to have a break, get a break on their health care coverage. And so now the school districts pay 80% of that health care insurance. So my work with our unions is very important, and I think it's including the folks next door. And yeah. I really want to emphasize the strong, consistent, responsible leadership that's been happening.
And for people who aren't aware, AFSCME is our next-door neighbors. Yes. Here at KTEL. Want to remind you all once again that early voting begins on May 5th. And I meant to mention at the start of this that in District 34, there is no Republican in the race. And so whichever candidate wins in the Democratic primary will go on to serve that district in Santa Fe. This has been great. You guys were the first. You got to kick it off for us. I appreciate the discussion.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.